You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Testimonies about what Jesus has done for them, I'm so encouraged. And the courage to be vulnerable really does give others hope. That when I see people in their vulnerability telling their stories and what God has done for them, it brings such deep hope in my own life. And I know what it's like to experience hardship and brokenness, but the vulnerability, the honesty, I'm so proud to be part of the spiritual family where Jesus is the main thing. And what we want to do always is keep the main thing the main thing. How many times have you heard that around here? We want to keep that. That is so true about following Jesus. I love the scripture that you heard earlier. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, this is our heritage, and Jesus is where it really all has begun. And we're going to talk today just a little bit about our family tree. Some of us have asked, where are you guys from? I mean, who are you part of? I'm not sure of all the details that go on. So I'm just going to try to explain some of this to you. I hope it encourages you. It's his first public sermon that I go to when I think about where we've come from. Where did we start? I think about Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and he reveals to us what real and full life can be like. Those that you saw today in those cardboard testimonies, what they're talking about is where they used to be and where they are now. And their life is blessed. And their life is full. Their life is meaningful and has purpose. You see, in Matthew chapter 5, there are 8 Beatitudes. And you can look at these Beatitudes like the foundation or really the soil of our family tree. And I love what it says, and I think it's always good to read this passage of Scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And this is what it says. It says, "Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, and he went up on a mountainside, and he sat down, his disciples came to him, and they began to teach them. And he said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.'" It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is a powerful way to open a public ministry. These are the first words that we have recorded of Jesus speaking to us. And what he's saying is here is going to be the new guidelines to life. This is going to be a new way of living that you haven't lived before. In fact, when you read these Beatitudes, it's almost counterintuitive, because my instincts, my flesh, want me to live another way. But when we read the Beatitudes, what he's saying is, blessed are the poor, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. That's amazing when you think about it. Now, right up front, when you see the word or the phrase, seeing the multitudes, I know that can sound a little impersonal, but it's not meant to be that way. There might be a better way of us reading that or understanding it. Something like this: when he sees his neighbors. Because about 80% of the ministry of Jesus was in the Galilee. And that's where he spent most of his time, among his neighbors. And here's something else. What did Jesus see? And whenever you read this passage, when it says Jesus saw something, ask the question, what did he see? So what did Jesus see when he saw his neighbors? You know, there are a few other places in the Gospels where this phrase is used, and it always has to do with the family dysfunction, the human dysfunction of family. That's what it deals with. Our brokenness, our emptiness, our sin. And the Beatitudes is Jesus responding to the way that he sees us living life and the resulting hurt and pain that come from living life that way. Jesus is telling us that he is the solution to our family dysfunction. He's the solution to the human family dysfunction of sin and brokenness, our fears, insecurities, confusion, all the things that bring death and not life. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22. It says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive." Now what I want you to do is go back to verse 3 in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus begins his public ministry with these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now maybe Jesus really meant to say, "Blessed are the rich in spirit," because that's kind of the way our economy works. That's the formula that we usually think about. We think that in order to be blessed, we need to be rich. We equate a blessed life with being rich. Now, this is the key to everything. This is really what opens the door in our walk with Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that know they have no other choice than Jesus. This is what it means to be poor, that you have no other choice but to ask for help. And when that happens, Jesus says you are blessed. When you come to the end of your rope, what he's saying is you are blessed. You know that spiritually, you can't dig yourself out of a hole. You can't manage yourself out of a hole. You can't fix yourself. And when you recognize all of this, Jesus says to you, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you." When we approach Jesus as though we have something to offer, and I've done that before, we try to bribe him with things that are already his. And that doesn't work all that well. Because there's nothing you can really give or offer Jesus that he doesn't already have, that he already doesn't have control over. And so when we come to Jesus, what the scripture is telling us here is come to him in poor in spirit. And when you do that, there's going to be a blessing in your life. Jesus says that to be part of his family, we must admit our poverty, and that's hard for us to do because I want to look good. I want you to think that I'm better than I really am. Oftentimes what I want to present is the highly edited version of myself, you know, the good part. What Jesus is saying here is that's not the part that he's interested in. The part that he's interested in is what's deep in your spirit and what you recognize about yourself in your relationship with your Father in heaven. He says this is what really matters in life. This is what makes all the difference. Listen, like I have it all together, I don't, because the word says that when you come to him, he strips you of all that. He wants you to be honest. Someone who is poor in spirit confesses that they don't have it all together. So here's the problem that we face today. And we do face a problem. Being part of the human family and admitting that you are poor is counterintuitive. It's not something that we instinctually do. And this goes against everything that we've been taught about being self-reliant, about living in a Western culture that prides itself in being self-reliant. There are no awards in business or sports for those who say, "I can't do it. I need help." I've never seen an award like that. I've never been given an award like that. We don't celebrate this in our culture, and we certainly don't put something like this on a resume. You know, when you go in and you sit down and you have a job interview, what you're wanting to present is your best self. And on that resume, it typically will not say, "Listen, I really need a lot of help, that I'm poor in spirit." It usually doesn't say that. We even quote a scripture we think says God helps those who help themselves. What you need to know is that's not in the Bible. It's nowhere to be found in the Bible. It's something that we made up along the way. In fact, it should read this: God helps those who don't know how to help themselves. God helps those who know and admit they can't help themselves. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. They will be in my family and inherit my kingdom." Now that's worth it right there. That's amazing in what we're being given. So the question now is, where do we live out life in his family? I mean, I know that I'm part of the family of Christ. I know that I'm part of the kingdom of God because I've come to that place and I've admitted that I am poor in spirit. And because I've admitted that and called on the name of the Lord, he says, "Now you enter in. Now you're in my family. Now you inherit the kingdom of heaven." So where do we go from there? Well, what I want to do is just talk to you a little bit about our larger family and our local family. Because some of us aren't really aware of where is this we come from? Where are our roots? What part of the family tree do we belong to? Well, our larger family is the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. And I'll admit that I never knew that growing up. In fact, I really had never heard Foursquare, except in a game on the playground. I heard that, and I knew that. But I went to the Foursquare College because I was encouraged by some family members that one of the professors there I had heard in a youth camp, and I wanted to go wherever this person was teaching. And so I end up there. I sign the dotted line. I'm enrolled, and I have no clue of what Foursquare is all about. In fact, I thought it was a little bit of a funny name. Now, we'll put the elephants in the room. We need to talk about that. It's a funny little name there. But I started going through their college and started meeting people and started spending time with those that had just this wonderful heart for mission and for what God had for them. And I met Annette there, and Annette had, I think, your second or third generation Foursquare. So she taught me really fast who everyone was. And I learned what it meant to be part of a larger family. That's what we call a denomination. We belong to, and it's really a good group of people. Their primary role in our lives is to provide governance for our churches and legal and financial covering. We need that today. That's really their primary responsibility to us. They're a great encouragement. And I know that can sound a little sterile. It can sound distant, but it's not. Our leaders really are very relational and understand the Great Commission. They really do want to and strive to stay in touch with the local church. For example, Pastor James is now the new dean of Canby Bible College, and he got a hold of me with a great idea to kick off our Canby Bible College dessert. He says, "Hey, could you ask our president, Glenn Burris, if he'll just do a video welcome?" And you know what I thought? I thought I'll do that, and I just sent him a little note. Within about 15 minutes, Glenn, our president, cares so much for us, he got back, and he said, "Absolutely, I'd love to do that." That's the kind of interaction we get to have. That's the pleasure that we have, the privilege we have of being connected with people who are really relational, that want to see the best in you, that want to see the best in our churches. These leaders are relational, not only relational, but they understand the Great Commission, and I love that. I really do. We also have family reunions once a year. We call them Foursquare Connections. And that's where we gather somewhere across the country. We spend time with each other. Last year was in Washington, D.C. This coming year in 2018 is in Seattle. So if you want to go, it's there. And it's over Memorial Day weekend. And so it's a great time to celebrate. It's incredible. They do a great job of bringing the family together. So where were we founded? Who founded us? We were founded in 1923 by Amy Semple McPherson, an incredible leader, visionary, very colorful person, dramatic, incredible leader, dynamic. She was not without flaws. She was not without her controversy, but she was an incredible leader. And one of the things that she did that was really amazing that a lot of people might not know is that when the Great Depression hit, it was Amy Semple McPherson and her church, Angelus Temple, that had these huge feeding lines for the poor, people who lost everything. They were standing miles in line so they could get something to eat. And it was Amy Semple McPherson and her team that actually fed the poor in the Los Angeles area and did a wonderful job helping people through one of the most difficult times in their life. I love our church for that reason. I really do. And what they did. The other thing that Amy would do is she went in and she would do rescues of prostitutes in the area of Los Angeles. Because what was happening then is the mafia was actually trying to get a grip on Los Angeles. She would go right in and find the prostitutes and say, "Who is your pimp?" And they would give names. She would go have the police come and arrest them. She literally broke the back of the mafia in Los Angeles in the 20s and 30s. That's how bold this woman was. We need that kind of boldness today, I think. I love that boldness to go into places that are so dark and bring the gospel, and that's exactly what she did. So over the last 95 years worldwide, the denomination, Foursquare denomination, has grown to 10 million members, 60,000 churches, most of which are not in this nation. The majority of Foursquare churches are in 144 other countries. So it is literally a worldwide movement. So, might be asking, what does Foursquare stand for? Let me give you what Foursquare stands for. It's very simple. You see it every morning, the Sunday morning that you drive into church. It means this: Jesus Christ is, first of all, our Savior. Would you agree with that? I would say amen. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Through His life, His death, and resurrection, I have been redeemed. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Jesus has rescued me, and he's healed me and began to heal me of my brokenness. That's what Jesus does. He's my Savior. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus Christ, we believe, baptizes with the fullness of his Holy Spirit. Why do I need that? I need the strength and the power of God's Holy Spirit in me to go tell the good news. And in me, what happens, the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in me, are the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians. This is the way that he's designed me. God has designed me to live. So what's happening here is the Beatitudes are actually coming true in me because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that I'm living under the influence of God's Holy Spirit. If you've never experienced the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, I invite you to do so. We have care teams around this building every weekend that you can go to and talk to, and they'll lead you into the baptism of God's Holy Spirit. We need the fullness. Now, what's the main reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I see in my life? And if I look at Acts chapter 2, it seems to be to me very simple. We're filled, endued with power to do what? To go bring the gospel to the nations. That's the primary purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to tell you this. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens is you want to go tell people. And that's a wonderful thing. That's exactly what we need to do. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is not only Savior, baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the third thing, is our healer. We believe that Jesus still heals today, that this isn't something that has passed. It's not dispensationalism. We believe that right now, Jesus heals us. And in fact, we have talked to people, and I've talked to people even this week, when we that have been healed from sicknesses and ailments and different things that have happened. We have people right here in this building right now who I know were in the hospital 3 days ago, and they're sitting here with us celebrating today because Jesus intervened and healed. Can you say amen? I love that. Jesus intends for all of us to be whole, body, soul, and spirit. And we believe that. And then the fourth thing here is this: Jesus Christ is a soon coming king. That we live our lives with this expectation that he is coming again. And he is going to establish here his rule and reign. That will be part, for those that know him, will be part of that rule and reign with Jesus Christ. I'm excited about, and I think about the times or the opportunities that I have to tell others that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And we want to make sure that message stays in front. We want to make sure that we don't forget. It's easy to sometimes, often, through life, you get weighed down. Your eyes start to look down. Your shoulders are bent over. But what we need to remember is there's something greater. There's a greater calling, and it's Jesus. He is coming again. He's coming soon. Now, our local Canby Four Square Church. I love this place, and I've grown up here. My family has grown up here. In fact, we tell people this. We say that if we have never even pastored or would never pastor this church and lived in this community, we would come here, because of the heart and the spirit of Canby Four Square Church. We were founded in November of 1978, 39 years ago this November. So a year from now, we'll get ready to celebrate our 40th anniversary as a church. We were founded by some wonderful people, pastors Jack and Linda Gustafson. And I'm so grateful for that. How many were around here the first few years of this church, going way back there? Look at it. You still have people in this place that were around back then. And I love being part of a church where there's those roots, that we are reminded of our local family tree and what God has done for us. And I'm blessed by them. And Jack and Linda were here. They were with us for about 7.5 years before they went to Florida to plant a church. And then from Florida, they became deeply involved with pastors and leadership training in Brazil. And that's what they're currently doing now. And you help support them through your giving. You help continue to support them in Brazil as they just help with our pastors and our leaders there. And I'm so blessed to have such a great foundation. I'm so blessed to be able to have people even here today that were part of that foundation. I'm reminded every single day that I spend time with you in this community, how blessed and gracious God is to all of us. The next pastors that came were Jim and Connie Kingsbury. They were here for about 2.5 years, and they went out from here to be missionaries, mainly to Muslim people groups, and that's not an easy call, but they did. They answered that call. And so for the first 10 years, Jim and Connie and Jack and Linda were the pastors. Then Annette and I arrived in 1988, a little over 29 years now that we've been here. We came in August of 1988 and met with the elders and the leaders of this church and hit it off. I think the best thing we could call that, it was kind of love at first sight. And we knew we were supposed to be here, and they knew we were supposed to be together. And from that point on, we've just seen the Lord do some amazing things in all of our lives. Now, if I think of our leadership and the leadership you've experienced here, it can be best described, I think, as helping others discover their God-given passions and purpose in life. I think that would be the call that God has put on this place, has put on me as a pastor leader. Is that what I'm here to do is to just really wait on the Lord and ask God this question: what is He up to in you? What's He doing in you? I think for the most part, those that have sat with Annette and I personally, you'll experience that. We're just going to want to know, what is God doing in your life? And how can we help come alongside and encourage that? How can we help make that happen for you? That is our call. So here it is. Our vision is to help you fulfill your vision in the kingdom of God. That's our vision. I remember when visions were really, really, really big in the church multiplication movement. People would come to me and say, "What's your vision?" And I'd think, "Oh, I don't know." You know, it's like I'm not really sure. I don't really have a fancy one. And I realized, well, our vision is to help you find yours. Because we believe there's something God has put in every one of you that can be this wonderful expression of Jesus Christ in community and touch the communities and the world that we're part of. You all have gifts. God has all given you purpose. And we want to give you opportunities to help find that purpose. And I think that's so true. The greatest gift we can give is give you opportunities to find out what God is up to in your life. Church is really not church until we can actually push and pull some of the levers. Is that true? Would you say that's true? I would. I want to get involved. I want to get my hands on something and be part of something. I'll never forget, we were doing communion one Sunday. This was a few years ago. And there was this little girl. She was probably 4 or 5 years old. And she walked up to the communion table. And she was kind of just looking around at the communion table. I know that had to look strange to her. I mean, looking at a communion table for the first time, you're not sure what's going on there. And I said, "Do you want to know what's happening here?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Do you want to know where it all comes from? Because it looks like it's magic, doesn't it? I mean, it just shows up here. Someone has to do all of this. And we have some great teams that do all of this." And so I took this young lady back into our green room, and I asked the team, "Can she help you prepare communion?" And they said, "Absolutely." They folded her right in, stood her on a chair, and she was able to help prepare communion for you. There's nothing like being enfranchised. There's nothing like being a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, that we get to participate in. Listen, we want to make it very difficult for you not to get involved here. Because I know the thrill and the satisfaction that comes when you are involved and you get your hands on things and you're part of something that's much bigger than you. And I love that. So what do we do? Well, here's some things that I think would mark us. When people talk about Canby Foursquare Church, they would say this, I believe, a place of healing. And I think that's been true in the DNA of this church. Healing through the power and love of Jesus Christ. Healing that comes through your grace and your hospitality that you see, that you experience in this place. That's one of the reasons I just am so glad we have a multitude of recovery groups that take place here, small groups that happen here that deal with my brokenness. You know, people do not come to church whole. Do you know that? There are a lot of pastors that want people to come to church whole, but it's a fantasy. It never works that way. People come to us as you have come, as I have come. We come broken. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to come to that place and confess, yes, we are poor in spirit. We need to admit that we're at the end of our rope. And when we do, that's when the healing begins. And that's what happens in this place. And that's why I love being here in community, because I'm healed. You're healed. We're all getting better and stronger in Jesus' name. We're also a training church. Training is about developing your gifts and a hunger to know and speak God's word. We know this about God's word. God's word is infallible. God's word is absolute. And we want this community to know and love the word of God. That you would dive in and be involved with God's word. There are places that this can happen. It can happen here. It can happen during the week. It happens in small groups. Canby Bible College will be celebrating its 20th year in 2018. First started as Leadership Training Institute. That's one way that we say, here, we want you to be trained. We want you to know the Word of God. If you've never taken classes, Bible classes, this is a great place to take Bible classes. To just dive in and start to learn the Word of God. MTI, which is going on right now, Ministry Training Institute, our interns, study groups, what we give for our children and our youth based on the Word of God. We want to see people trained and equipped as disciples who make disciples for Jesus. It is our focus, it is our heart, it is my passion to see us equipped. And then there's something else that we do. You've gotten a theme almost, or a taste of it. It's sending. We are a sending church. We want to see healing. We want to see training. But we also want to see you sent into your communities. Now, sending can mean back to your families. If you remember the story last week, Mark chapter 5, where did Jesus tell the former demoniac to go once he was healed? He said, go back to your families. Go back to your people, and tell them what God has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. That's our story right there. That's what we do. So we tell those that are closest to us. Well, then next time you hear about this man, in just a verse or two later, it says, and he went to the 10 cities in the region. So he not only told his family. See, it's contagious. You can't hold it. He goes out and he tells the 10 other cities, hey, this is what Jesus has done for me. This is the mercy he's shown me. So we want this to be told, this wonderful story of good news, to be told to family and friends and to community and to the nations. That's what we are really all about. It's about sending, and we've seen that. It's in your DNA, and I love that about this church. I love that about what you do in sending and planting churches. That's one of the things we've done, is we've planted churches over the years. He doesn't know I'm going to do this. Tom, it's so good to see you. Tom Shaner is here. If you just lift your hand right there. He went and took a group to Kentucky and planted a church there almost 20 years ago. So thank you, Tom. We didn't even know he was going to be here today. So good. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for popping in, man. It's good to see you. Really good to see you. The different ways that God does what he does. Can I tell you how these all happen? There's not really any grand plan that I have about planting churches or sending people to other nations. I don't have a board in my office with little pens stuck in them and saying, here's what we're going to do, here's what we're going to do, and here's what we're going to do. There's none of that. You know how that happens? It happens through you. It does. All the churches we planted primarily have come because there have been people in these communities or have had a heart for these communities. They've come and said, wow, I have just such a burden for Kentucky, I have such a burden for New York, I have such a burden for California, I have such a burden for Colorado, I have such a burden for this area. And what we do is we start to put teams together and send teams out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's from you. You're the ones who make this up. And I love the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit in you. And I want you to know something. I trust the Holy Spirit in you. I really do. It might take a while for certain visions to come true. It might take a while for certain things to happen in your life, but they will happen. That's the DNA of this church. The three words that I love, and I'm going to finish with this. This is a place, and this is true about Jesus, this is a place that you can belong. You know, the wonderful thing about Jesus is there's something just about his life that you always felt invited to. I mean, how is it that he touched so many different people with so many different backgrounds, with so many different ailments? How did he do that? It's because people felt welcomed into his space. One of the things that Jesus said is, hey, if you're weary, if you're burdened, if your yoke is too heavy, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's the nature of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? Jesus invites you to belong before you get your act together. See, that's what we might have turned around in our churches. That's what we might have turned around in the places in our community. You don't have to get it all together first to go to Jesus. You come to Jesus as you are. You belong. You connect to Him. The next step is once you're attached to Him, oh man, you're caught. You're in the net. And then what do? You have a choice. Do you believe? That's the second thing. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. I love it. And then you start to become just like Jesus. That's a lifelong process. The Bible says now you become like Jesus, just like Him. So here's what I want you to remember. Keep the main thing. Would you do that? And the main thing is Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that this is my family tree. I'm blessed that this is my family tree. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. We say amen. Would you bow your head with me? Would you do that? I just want to invite those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus, just to take that step, that you feel like you're being included by Jesus Christ and the love and the grace that He's showing you, and maybe through the people around you. What is the next step? The next step is to believe, to call on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says you will be saved. And if you're here today and you want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to help you do that. I want to give you a pathway to do that. You can just, where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed, you can lift your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But what you can say is, yes, I'm calling on the name of Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you're here and want to do that, you lift your hand and I'll see you. And we will pray for you. We will encourage you in this walk. In Jesus' name. Good. All right. God is so good. Father, we just want to thank you today that we get this opportunity to dive into your family, to be part of your family. And Lord, to see that expression of your heart lived out in this church community and really from here around the world is so amazing. It's so gratifying, and we are grateful to what you've done and what you've called us to. Lord, as we go about our business today, would you continue to work in our lives and let us always keep before us, you are the main thing, and we keep the main thing. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen and amen. Would you?
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.